Good morning. Already did it once at the sunrise service, but we'll do it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It is great to have each of you out this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Each holiday or special day that we celebrate has a special meaning. For example, the message of the 4th of July, at least here in the United States of America, is that we celebrate the independence of our nation. The message of Memorial Day is remembering the death and the sacrifice of patriotic men and women who gave their lives of service to our country. The message of Mother's Day is Mom. The message of Father's Day is Dad. The message of Christmas is the birth of Christ, and we aptly say Jesus is the reason for the season. The message of Good Friday, which we looked at past Friday, is the death of Christ on the cross, where he paid the penalty of our sin. I don't typically use the term Easter. I prefer to use the term Resurrection Sunday. And the message of Resurrection Sunday, which we celebrate this morning, can be summed up in three phrases that we're going to look at this morning and are actually the topic of my message. And the three phrases are, fear not, come see, go tell. And we find that message in Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 through 7. If you would please stand with me and follow along in your Bibles, I would like to begin reading at the beginning of that chapter. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook in fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, as he has said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we can celebrate the resurrection of your Son. Thank you that when your Son was obedient to go to the cross in order to pay the penalty of our sins, you did not leave him in the grave, but you rose him up on the third day. And today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate because of his victory, we have hope. We have hope for eternity. We have hope of a resurrection of our own someday. And so, Lord, as we take some time to look at this passage, your word invites us to not be afraid. It invites us to come and see, and it invites us to go and tell. And so I pray, Lord, that this message would ring true in each one of our hearts, that we would answer to this message, that we would answer to this call to not be afraid, to fear not, to come and see for ourselves that the Savior is risen, and then we would be willing to go and tell others. All this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As I already mentioned in my introduction, we're going to look at three things that the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ invites us to do. And this comes directly from the words that the angel spoke to the women who were at the tomb that morning. And the first thing that the resurrection invites us to do is to fear not. The resurrection invites us to fear not. It invites you to fear not. Verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." The resurrection invites us to fear not because God cares for your needs. God cares for you. He is concerned for you. The angel recognized that the women, just as the guards who were afraid and were fearful to the point where they were frozen, the angel recognized that these women had a need, immediate need. They were fearful as well in the presence of this angel, in the presence of this great miracle that had happened. And so he declared to the women that he understood why they were at the tomb and that there was no reason for them to be fearful, that there was no reason for them to be concerned. And I believe that this demonstrated that God cared about their emotional state. God wanted to communicate to them that they were okay, that there was nothing for them to be concerned about, there was nothing for them to be fearful of. He wanted to prepare them for what they were about to encounter, because the angel had another message that initially could be quite shocking. And so he cared about their emotional need. And the reality is that God is not indifferent towards our needs either. God is not indifferent to your needs. Each one of us face unique circumstances and challenges in our lives. And sometimes those challenges can bring fear into our lives and fear into our hearts. And the message of the resurrection invites us to fear not, to not be afraid. God is not indifferent, and he's not a bully looking to hurt us and to bring unnecessary pain into our lives. There are some people that view God that way. I don't know if any of you saw the movie Bruce Almighty. It was many, many years ago. And it's not this Bruce that's with us. But in the movie Bruce Almighty, there's a scene where Bruce, the character played by Jim Carrey, says this about God. He says, "God is a mean kid sitting on an anthill with a magnifying glass, and I'm the ant. He could fix my life in 5 minutes if he wanted to, but he'd rather burn off my feelers and watch me squirm." That would be a God to be fearful of. And there are people who view God that way. That he's a bully, that he's a mean, mean God, that all he wants to do is keep you from having fun. But the resurrection invites us to fear not. That's not the type of God that we serve. God is not a mean kid sitting on an anthill with a magnifying glass. Fear not. He truly cares about your needs. And the angel's response to the women at the grave site where Jesus had previously been buried demonstrates God's care for our emotional needs as well. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." And the resurrection is a reminder that God cares for you. Fear not. God also knows your greatest needs. All of us have varying needs in our lives, but we all have one need that is the greatest need of all humanity, of all mankind. And with the resurrection, with the message of the resurrection, he wants to meet that need as well. And this is why this next point is critical. Fear not, God has good news to share with you. Fear not, God has good news to share with you. The news that the angel was about to share with these women was not something for them to be frightened about. It wasn't something for them to be concerned about. It was something that once they understood the message of the resurrection, it would bring great joy. It would bring great peace. It would bring great hope into their lives. Though the initial shock of what these women were about to experience could cause great fear and anguish in anybody, there was no reason for fear because the news that the angel had for them was great news. Life-changing news. The greatest news humanity has ever received. The greatest message that has ever been proclaimed. And this great news impacts you this morning as well. This great news wasn't just for these ladies that were at the tomb. This news is for you this morning as well. It is for me. It is for each of us. Which brings us to the second invitation of the resurrection story. The resurrection invites you to come and see. The resurrection invites you to come and see. Let's go to verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. The resurrection invites you to come see that Jesus is no longer in the grave. He's not there. You won't find his body there. You won't find any evidence of him being in the grave. The angel invited the women into the tomb so that they could see for themselves that Jesus' body was no longer there. The body was gone. The tomb was empty. This morning in the sunrise service, we looked at the promise of the empty tomb and what that means and how significant that promise is. And the angel, through the resurrection, invites us to come and see for ourselves. He doesn't invite us just to look. He didn't say, come look. There's a difference, isn't there? How often do we look at something but not really see? I believe there's significance in that word. When we simply look at something, we may not fully grasp what we are looking at. We can often look at something and 5 seconds later forget. But I believe this word see is much deeper. When we truly see, when we grasp, when we understand it, when we comprehend it, then we get the full significance. So the angel was inviting them, come in. Don't just look from the outside. Come in and see for yourself. Understand what just happened here. Understand what it means that this grave is now empty, that Jesus is not here. The angels wanted these ladies to see, to grasp, to understand, and to comprehend that the tomb was empty because Christ had risen from the dead just as he had promised. His promise had been fulfilled. See, the problem is Jesus had told his disciples that this would happen, but they hadn't seen. It was, as I shared with you previously, you know, when I grew up, you know, I had ADHD and I would easily forget the instructions that my mother would give me. I told you last Sunday. She would send me to the corner store and I'd get down to the corner store and completely forget what it was that she sent me to buy. It was going in one ear out the other. That's what had happened with the disciples with this promise that Jesus had given them about his resurrection. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and to be raised on the third day. If they were listening, they would have been at the gravesite waiting for this, wouldn't they? But they hadn't seen. They didn't understand. They hadn't grasped it. And so the angel invites them in, and in the same way invites us into the tomb to see that Jesus did exactly as he had promised. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He suffered the penalty of our sins. He was buried. But on the third day, the Father rose him up from the grave. Come and see. The resurrection of Christ is great news because it gives us the promise of living hope. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have hope. Because Jesus rose from the dead and his tomb is empty, we now know that our life does not end in the grave. There's something beyond the grave for us as well. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." Where does that hope come from? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope as Christians is based on the promise of the resurrection. And the resurrection invites us to come in and to see, to understand, to grasp, to comprehend that our Lord and Savior rose. This living hope is based on the fact that Jesus conquered death. He's no longer in the grave because he conquered death. The grave could not keep him. The grave could not hold him. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we too can have hope and victory over sin. We too can experience eternal life. John 11, 25 through 26 says, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" The resurrection invites you to come and see and understand and believe this reality. That if we have placed our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never die. Yes, our physical body will die. But Scripture promises that for the saints, for those of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, the minute that our spirit leaves our body, it goes directly to the presence of the Lord. And as we saw several weeks ago when we were looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have the promise that one day even our bodies will be raised from the grave and reunited in the clouds with our Lord. That is what the resurrection invites us to see, to understand, to grasp, to believe. If you place your faith in the power of Christ's substitutionary death on the cross and his promise to forgive your sin and the power of his resurrection to free you from the power of death, God's word says you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, there's a big difference between believing with the head and believing with the heart. Believing with the head is intellectual. There's a lot of people with intellectual knowledge and belief about Jesus. We live in a country that, at least at one point, considered itself a Christian nation. And I would still say probably the majority of people in this country, if you ask them if they believe in Jesus, at least from an intellectual level, would say yes. But here in Romans, it says if you believe with your heart. Believe with the heart is different. Believe with the heart means an assurance. It means faith. It means total dependence and reliance on that truth that Jesus died for our sins, that he paid the penalty of our sins, and that he rose again and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10 tell us that if we believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we place our faith and trust in Him and acknowledge it with our lips, that we will be saved. That's a promise. And the message of the resurrection invites every single one of us to come and see that, to come and understand that, to come and grasp that, to come and believe that, to place our faith in that truth. If you haven't made this most important decision yet in your life, this is the true purpose of Resurrection Sunday. This is why we celebrate this service today. And I encourage you not to leave here this morning without taking this step of faith. Come and see. See for yourself. Place your faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for your salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The message of the resurrection is that Jesus Christ Himself is inviting you this morning to come and see. And today, no greater day than today on Resurrection Sunday for you to place your faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for salvation. And as we saw in Romans chapter 10, if you do that, you will be saved. Come and see. If you've already come and seen, if you've already trusted Christ as Savior, you've already placed your faith in Him, there's one more invitation waiting you on Resurrection Sunday. And that one we see in verse 7. The resurrection invites you to go tell. Verse 7. "And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead, and indeed He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you." The resurrection invites you to go tell the story of your encounter with the empty tomb. The angel tells these women, "Go tell the others what you saw. Go tell them about your experience. Share with the world. Let them know that the tomb is empty, that you saw it yourself with your own eyes. Share with others the conversation that you just had with me. The message of Easter that was just proclaimed, that Jesus is no longer in the grave because He rose again, just like He promised. Go tell." And this is exactly, interesting, what the woman at the well did immediately after she placed her faith in Jesus Christ. And nobody had to tell her to do it. She did it automatically. If we go back, and I encourage you to go to John 4 sometime and read the story. It's an incredible story of a transformation in this woman's life. But when the woman at the well had her encounter with Jesus Christ, and she placed her faith in Him and accepted the fact and the reality that He was the awaited Messiah, as soon as she believed in Him, she immediately went to tell others. In John chapter 4, verses 28 through 30, "The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come see.'" See those words again? Come see. She invited them to come see for themselves. She had already seen. She had already believed. Now she went and invited others to come see for themselves. "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Now, I believe she already believed that he was, but this is her way of getting them interested. Could this be? Because they were all looking, they were all waiting, they were all desiring. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. She shared her story. Resurrection Sunday invites us to go tell, to share our story, to share our encounter. If you are a child of God, you have a story. Some may be more exciting than others, but you have a story. You have a before and you have an after experience. You have an experience of the moment that you yourself came and saw and understood and believed and placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Are you sharing that story with others? The resurrection is inviting you to go tell your experience with those around you. Christian, who have you shared your story with lately? Who have you shared your personal story with in the last week, month, year, decade? You have a testimony to share. And the resurrection invites you to go tell. What are you waiting for? Go tell. Go share. Go tell the story of your encounter with the empty tomb. Go tell others how you have encountered with, how you had an encounter with the risen Savior. Tell others how they also can have an encounter. Don't just tell them your story, tell them how they can have one too. That's exactly what the angel was telling these ladies. Let's go back to verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So the angels here are telling the ladies, tell others about the encounter you just had and tell them to wait for Jesus in Galilee where they can have an encounter. Are you telling others where they can have an encounter with Jesus? Are you sharing your story and leading them to their personal encounter with him? We too have a responsibility of directing people to Jesus, because he is their only hope. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There are many people searching for answers. There are millions looking in many different places, looking in religion, looking in philosophies, looking in many different places for the answers in life. And the resurrection not only invites us to fear not only invites us to come and see for ourselves and to believe, but it invites us to go and reach those who are searching for answers and to tell them, to share our personal story about our encounter with Jesus Christ and to show them in God's word how they too can have an encounter with Christ. Are you doing that? How have you directed others towards an encounter with Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, lately? My friend, please don't get caught up in all of the distractions of the secular holiday that Easter has become. That's the main reason I don't like using the term Easter, because there's just so much wrapped up in that term. Forget about the message, the general message in our society today of Easter. Focus on the story of the resurrection. The resurrection that invites you to fear not. The resurrection that invites you to come and see. The resurrection that invites you to go tell. So this morning, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, we are left with these three invitations. Fear not. Come see. Go tell. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, once again, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this message. Lord, I pray if there is anybody here this morning that has not trusted your Son, Jesus Christ, for their salvation, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would reveal to them the truth of this message that we've just looked at, this invitation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to fear not. You love them, you care for them, you're concerned for them, you want to meet them where they are. You want to help them in the midst of whatever situation they're facing, and you want them to come and see. You want them to come and see the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who shed his blood, who paid the penalty of our sins, and rose again. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that has not made that decision yet, I pray that today would be the day that they would place their faith in him and in him alone for their salvation. And for the rest of us, Lord, those of us who have already taken that step, I pray that we would be obedient to the third and final invitation, and that is the invitation to go tell. Lord, may this morning, this message, this Resurrection Sunday remind us and motivate us that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to go share our testimony of our encounter with Jesus. And we have a responsibility to go share the good news of Jesus Christ and to show people how they too can have an encounter with him. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.